ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Obviously, I underwent a surgery a year ago, so with no guarantees I'll be back playing. So it's been a long year, a challenging one, a lot of times where, you know, I thought the game was probably done for me. So I've chipped away at it. Thank you to my team. I'm about to tear up.
Thanasi Kokkinakis getting emotional on us after winning a doubles match at the Brisbane International with old mate Nick Kyrgios. And doesn't that tell us something? There was a time where the Special Ks were the intoxicating new duo who Australian tennis believed might spearhead a generation of excellence in the sport. Right now, they're battling debilitating injuries of all different kinds just to get on court for a doubles competition they once upon a time might have considered a little beneath them. And they're savouring it. They're finding joy in it. And we're finding joy in that. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. John Millman is a former ATP veteran. He's one of the best analysts in the game of tennis. John, sport in Australia kind of has rhythms. You know, spring footy finals, festive period cricket. And I feel like the Kokkinakis-Kyrgios injury struggles conversation has kind of become so well-worn, it's part of that rhythm. There was something undeniably fun about watching these two guys play doubles in Brisbane overnight, wasn't there?
Yeah, definitely, mate. I was lucky enough to call that match with Peter Pasaltis, another Queenslander, and we had a great time. You're always a little bit unsure as to what you're going to get with the Special K show, especially on the doubles court, but they were locked in. They were extremely motivated against some very tough opponents in a fellow Australian, Matt Ebden, and the veteran, Rajiv Ram, who's had multiple Grand Slam success. Kokkinakis-Kyrgios, geez, they were locked in and they looked really good and motivated to get through that one.
The nature of Thanasi's injury, it's kind of wild. It's resulted in him undertaking a pretty insane course of action as he tries to get himself back towards somewhere in the vicinity of 100%. What has he had to do in order to get himself in the mix for the Australian Summer of Tennis?
Well, he's been on the sidelines for nearly 12 months. We saw him sustain that shoulder injury during the Australian Open 12 months ago. If you can recall, it was actually in that doubles match with Kyrgios at the Australian Open on the John Bain Arena where they actually had to withdraw. And since then, he's been on the sidelines. So it's been a long time out of the game, a lot of rehab and a lot of soul searching to really find that motivation to get ready to go again.
I mean, I was so sick of training. And just like being in Melbourne in the winter with no one to really train with and trying to motivate myself for the Aussie summer, you know, that was always the carrot at the end. Just trying to look forward to that moment and not knowing if I can actually play, but just doing everything I can, endless injections, cortisones, trying to get myself to a spot where I can take the court.
I was looking for some key things last night. I was looking at that service speed. I was looking how his shoulder would respond as the match got a little bit deeper. And we got to see a fair bit of that because it did get to that deciding set and he came through unscathed, which was really, really good to see.
Terrific forehand from Thanasi Kokkinakis.
Although I don't want to pump up the tyres just too much. I want to taper everyone's expectations because it's a big difference to go from playing some doubles to best of five sets in a couple of weeks' times at the Australian Open. And that'll be the big litmus test to see how this shoulder has responded to the last 12 months of rehabilitation.
Shoulder injuries, pec injuries, it's such an unusual, such a tricky injury. Mm. And to hear that they had to have an operation where the surgeon reattached his pec muscle to his shoulder with the help of an Achilles tendon graft from a cadaver, a dead person. Have you ever in your years of tennis experience ever heard of any procedure like this?
Yeah, no, I really haven't. It wouldn't surprise me if this is the first of its kind. I was unfortunate to have two shoulder surgeries, not quite with the help of a cadaver, but it is really wild. And I can only imagine just how much effort, not just his effort, but his team's effort and the time and the energy spent to try to get him just to that stage last night. So that's an achievement in itself.
No physio or doctor that I saw was really like comfortable and confident of which was the right way to go. But I said I didn't want to keep doing what I was doing. And in the past, I'd play one match and I'd maybe have a big win and my arm was shot for the next couple of rounds. So I was almost like, I don't care if I don't play again. Like, I'm not doing that again, because it's almost like a tease of what I can do, and then I just have to pull out.
If I was Thanasi Kokkinakis, and perhaps he wasn't quite ready to do so, I would have loved to have seen him play some of these smaller tournaments at the back end of 2025. We did have an Australian pro circuit happening then where the Challenger circuit was in full flight, and they finished quite late in the piece. Obviously, his shoulder might not have quite been ready for that. Would have loved to have seen him to get that conditioning through the shoulder going into what's a really big Australian summer, because the level of play is obviously at the elite level. I would love to have seen him get a few runs under his belt on a bit of a softer tour before exposing himself to this. But obviously, he wasn't quite ready to do so, and he's thrown himself in the deep end. So hopefully that rehab has really worked, and hopefully he's recovered well today. I haven't got a chance to speak to him today. I think that that's a really good indication with how that shoulder has responded, how that pec's responded after playing under match conditions.
The mentality of the pair was really intriguing as well. I mean, you would have been a bit more established when these two burst onto the scene. You saw firsthand the hype, and now it's clear their careers are closer to the end than the start, I think it's fair to say. And to hear them both quite reflective, the word joy got thrown around a lot.
When me and Thanasi play doubles together, we remember that this sport can be pretty fun, and it's not always just like injuries and competing and grinding. It is something, you know, every good thing that's come in my life has come from this sport.
Do you get the sense from these two there's maybe an appreciation of things that they previously potentially took for granted?
Well, I think so. And I think with any athlete, I think your career creeps up on you quite quickly. You know, it doesn't feel like that long ago that I was 21 and jumping on the scene, and you take that for granted. And I think that these guys, you know, Thanasi's now 29, Nick 30 years old, they are coming towards the back end stages of their career and they're hoping now to extend it.
It's gone in a flash. I feel like we look at that 2013 and it's like, that didn't feel that long ago. Now we're fucking nearly 30. Oh, I'm 30.
He's 30, I'm nearly 30. It's crazy. It's crazy. You never listen to people when they say it goes by quick.
Yeah, but it went really quick.
Yeah, walking around as vets, it's... I don't know, mentally we still feel probably pretty young, but physically it's a different story.
I'm definitely pretty, yeah.
I think at the end of the day, both of those players don't want to look at themselves in the mirror and have regrets and ask those questions of what might have been. And I definitely thought I saw that last night. I haven't quite seen, not since the Australian Open doubles run where they actually went through and won as a pair, I haven't actually seen that type of intensity on a doubles court from both of those players. So it really was enjoyable to watch.
Oh, you want disguise? There's the disguise again from Kyrgios.
I think that they're just appreciating this moment so much more, as does every Aussie around this time of the year, though, might I add. It's very rare that you get to spend a month in the country. Most of the Australians are away about 44 weeks a year. So to be able to play tennis in your backyard in front of adoring fans is a real rarity for an Australian tennis player, and they were really lapping it up yesterday.
Nick Kyrgios has spoken about a willingness to go through qualifying if necessary to gain a wild card. You've lived a version of this situation where many assumed you might get a wild card to the AO in what we knew was your last year, but it didn't pan out that way. Would Tennis Australia be in communication with Nick? How would this be sort of playing out behind the scenes?
Yeah, look, I'm not privy to any of those conversations, but if I was to hazard a guess, if Nick's fit and ready to go, I don't think that the tournament organisers are going to deny Nick a wild card. You know, I know Nick's a polarising figure. I know he's got a lot of support and a lot of admirers. And then there's those others that might not be in his bandwagon and cheering him on. But what he does do is he draws a crowd. And we know event organisers at the Tennis Australia, they love to have that energy. They love that crowd. And I think this is a real litmus test to see if his body holds up. It looked like it was in really good shape last night. He has had limited play. He only played 3 ATP matches last year in 2025. He predominantly played a lot of exhibition and feature matches throughout the year. I think that they'll be looking to this Brisbane International to see if he can get it through his doubles, if he can get through his singles. And if he does, it would not surprise me if he is given a wild card. In fact, it would surprise me if he wasn't given one.
Thanasi and Nick, obviously both with their respective physical struggles at this point in their career. What's that like when you are reaching the conclusion of your career and you're still driven, particularly mentally maybe, but the body's just not responding the way you would like? How frustrating and challenging is that?
Yeah, one of the most frustrating things. And look, let's hope that Thanasi and Nick get a few more years out of their bodies. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they can get through, you know, the next 12 months, that they can go strong at 33, 34, 35 years old. Players are extending their career a little bit longer. You just look at one of my mates, James Duckworth, who's back inside the top 100 after exiting it at, you know, the ripe old age of 34 years old. So there's no doubt that if they can get their bodies right, they can extend their career. But there's also no one's denying the fact that, you know, once you start getting to 30 plus, you know, your years are limited on the tour. That's one of the toughest things, though, is when your body starts letting you down and things that, you know, were automatic 5-6 years ago early on in your career become that much more difficult. Things like recovery, all of a sudden it takes you an extra day or two to recover from a tough match where you were jumping out of the skin the next day in your early 20s. These are things that you have to talk to your team and really discuss and really find an approach in terms of your training, in terms of your recovery processes, really be able to adapt your processes. What you could do early on in your career has changed, and the smart ones really manage that. I think that's what Novak Djokovic has done really well. He's not training the same way as what he was early on in his career, but he's adapted it and it's managed to extend his playing career. So I'm sure that they'll be in the ear of those experts and they'll be working out how to plot a course to extend their playing careers.
John Millman, appreciate your time. Thank you.
No, my pleasure. And I can't wait for the Australian Summer of Tennis.
Headlines. Staying with tennis for just a moment. And do you remember when Novak Djokovic started his own players' union? Well, he's now cut them loose, saying the organisation no longer aligns with his values. Odd. England's Joe Root has scored his first Red Bull Test 100 in Australia, making a massive 160 from 242 balls on day two of the fifth and final Ashes Test in Sydney.
Joe Root out for 160. A fabulous innings, full of determination and the experience of one of the great batsmen of the day. His 41st Test century comes to an end with a miscue, and Root is caught and bowled by Nisa for 160. And here's the applause as he goes up, raises his bat, hopefully not for the last time here at the SCG in a Test match.
Ultimately, England was all out for 384. Live coverage of the Test is on the ABC Listen app. You can find the best analysis by searching for the ABC Cricket Podcast with Corbin Middlemass and Egg Cowan. And for full online coverage, go to the ABC Sport website. Great news for an Australian cricketing great with Damian Martin out of a medically induced coma. The 54-year-old has been struggling with a case of meningitis, but is now awake and speaking after deep concerns for his health. Former teammate Adam Gilchrist says he has responded extraordinarily well since coming out of the coma, to the point where his family feels like it's some sort of miracle. That's just a pretty good story. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. It's great to be back for another year of sport. Can't wait to be talking all the action with you throughout 2026. Thanks to Channel 9 and Tennis TV for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.